Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past 2 weeks, we had 6 posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. In the first post, we summarized a study where the authors reported that after an anterior cruciate ligament reconstruction, patient-reported outcomes increase during the first 2 years and then are maintained at 6 and 10 years post-surgery. A participant who at the time of surgery had a higher BMI, medial meniscal procedure performed prior to reconstruction, female sex, older age, smoking habit, chondral lesion, or poor patient-reported outcome scores were more likely to have inferior outcomes at 10 years. We also shared a post recently on a clinical trial where the authors reported that a 42-week progressive injury prevention program reduced the incidence and burden of head, neck, and concussion injuries among rugby teams. The third study we reported on was one where the authors reported that an athlete immediately removed from activity after a concussion was more likely to have a faster recovery in symptoms and return to play than someone who had a delay in removal from play. Over the past 2 weeks, we also shared 3 new consensus statements. The first was the National Athletic Trainers Association's position statement on the evaluation, management, and outcomes and return to play criteria for overhead athletes with superior labral anterior posterior injuries. The second position statement was an update of the Australian Institute of Sport and Australian Medical Association's position statement on concussion in sport. And finally, we shared the 2017 update to the consensus statement on female athlete issues for the team physician. If we take a closer look at that first post, we find that the authors completed a prospective study to identify risk factors for inferior outcomes 10 years after an ACL reconstruction. A total of almost 1,600 patients who had a primary or revision ACL reconstruction at one of 7 sites within the Moon Consortium were enrolled in this study. All patients completed informed consent and a 13-page questionnaire, which included the International Knee Documentation Committee, or IKTC form, as well as the Knee Injury and Osteoarthritis Outcome Score, or KOOS score. And they also completed the MARCS Activity Rating Scale score. All patients underwent a standardized rehabilitation protocol after surgery. The same questionnaire that was issued at enrollment was then reissued via mail at 2, 6, and 10 years post-surgery. The authors obtained 10-year follow-up data from 83% of participants. On average, participants reported improved patient-reported outcomes from surgery to the 2-year follow-up, and these improvements were maintained at 6 and 10-year follow-ups. In contrast, the participants' activity typically decreased over time. Overall, a participant who started with a higher BMI, medial meniscal procedure performed prior to their reconstruction, who were female, were older in age, smoked, had a chondral lesion, or who had lower patient-reported outcomes, was more likely to have an inferior outcome. Level of activity, graft type, medial collateral ligament or lateral collateral ligament lesions, and meniscal lesions at the time of reconstruction were not significant factors in determining who would have poor outcomes. Overall, these findings highlight that on average, people perceive improvements from surgery to 2 years and then maintain these results over time. It would be interesting to know how people individually changed. For example, how many people continued to have meaningful improvements over 10 years versus how many people had meaningful declines in quality of life or function. In the meantime, clinicians can use these results to counsel patients. It may be beneficial to discuss with patients the modifiable risk factors such as smoking or high BMI, that the authors identified and what they can meet to the patient if they have one. These factors, such as lower baseline activity scores, high BMI, and being a smoker, can be targeted by clinicians as behaviors that can be modified even before an injury occurs. As clinicians gain a better understanding of the factors that can lead to the best outcomes, more detailed and efficient surgical procedures, rehabilitation programs, and pre-injury intervention programs could be identified and implemented. In the meantime, clinicians should continue using their current treatment protocols, but should consider counseling patients on these modifiable risk factors, both before and at the time of injury. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. Over the past week, one of the popular things on social media has been the new Stand Up to OA campaign that has been launched by the Osteoarthritis Action Alliance. I recommend that if you get a chance to check out the Osteoarthritis Action Alliance's social media accounts and to check out their new Stand Up to OA campaign. And if you're an athlete trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 6 online evidence-based practice courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. Also, if you or your patients are looking for new compression sleeves or socks, please check out Zensa's compression products at zensa.com. That's ZENSAH.com. Our co-founder recently checked out the products and thought that they were great quality and would be ideal for individuals who need full mobility but would like compression to enhance proprioception. For a limited time, you can get 10% off your order if you use customer discount code SMR10. That's SMR10 for 10% off. We'll have links to these courses and Zensa on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.